On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Upgrade news, everyone. Google makes DSA and GDA upgrades to PMax available.
An extraordinary new experiment at Twitter as it inexplicably changes its name and experience.
Bat, you're up. TikTok's new ad transparency library is cool, but only for one continent. All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I'm Jessica Lee Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on July 28th, 2023. Jess, welcome back. It's been so long.
It's been a long time.
I actually called you on last week's show.
I know.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did know that because I was on the receiving end and I listened to the show.
Wow.
And I sounded like a total bitch. In my audio, but I just really couldn't hear anything because I was at a brewery wrangling a child.
Oh, you're at a brewery?
Are you surprised?
No. So what's up with you? Why were you at a brewery?
I was at a brewery because I was on vacation and I was also high at said brewery. Because I'm on vacation and I'm no longer on vacation, but on this vacation, so I'm traveling with my almost four-year-old. He'll be four in like a month and a half. And he was the sweetest boy. He's really into pirates, which I didn't know about him. We're walking up the beach 5 of like the 9 days that we're there. And like every 2 feet, he's drawing an X in the sand because he wants to trick people into thinking there's treasure down there. He's yelling, "Our matey." He's being super sweet. Oh, go ahead.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Is your son's name Elon by any chance?
No, but we'll get there. Maybe he's clairvoyant though. He was like, jellyfish were washed up and he was scooping them up with his shovel and throwing them in the ocean, like every single one. There were a lot. He was a very, very sweet boy. However, at the end of the trip, on our last night there, once again, I was high because I was on vacation and I was trying to enjoy
myself.
Legally high. And my poor son, I'm like, you need to pee before you go to sleep because you cannot pee in this hotel bed because sometimes he wets the bed at night. We're still working through that. I'm like, you have to pee before you go to sleep. So he starts crying and he throws a tantrum and I feel awful, but because I'm a little bit happy, it's funny to me. This boy is in the bathroom, like across the suite. There's like 2 rooms in between me and him and he's just in the bathroom standing there peeing in the toilet, sobbing. I'm so bored. And you're boring for making me do this.
Wow.
And he was so distraught and so sad that he had to pee in this toilet. And on one hand, I was proud because I love the word boring as an insult. I think it's amazing. 2, he still listened to me. He still went pee begrudgingly. And 3, it was the end of the vacation. I didn't care, but I just felt bad laughing so hard at him. He's like, I'm so bored. He was there for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
This poor kid was like having a time, but it was just a really good experience. Like, I feel like the older your kids get, like the travel experience is different, but this was a really like still innocent, still fun, still sweet, but then just being a total and just won't pee and calling me boring, which is super rude, but I kind of loved it.
All right, Nicole, what's been going on with you?
All right. So everyone I know, the news of the weekend was Barbie versus Oppenheimer, the movies. I am definitely an Oppenheimer girly, but I went to go see Barbie at the drive-in movie theater because all my friends are Barbie.
What?
People? Yeah, I know. Can you imagine? I wore black, by the way.
Of course you did.
That. Yeah. And drive-in's really nice because there's not like social rules about how you behave. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a good time. Like, I wanted to see Oppenheimer. I'm just going to take an edible and enjoy this movie.
Really? Legally high.
How much did you guys have?
I don't know. We made brownies, and I think we're dead. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Don't ask me how the movie was, because I was asleep in 10 minutes.
Oh, no!
We brought a truck. I brought pillows, a blanket. I had the best nap of my life during the Barbie movie in the drive-in theater.
So how is
Oppenheimer? Many people are mad at you right now.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but it was a double feature? Because no, I saw that in my travels.
I wish it was.
So many drive-ins were doing them both.
wake me up. But yeah. They had Oppenheimer on one screen and Barbie on two screens. So there's injustice here. But
I mean, the feminists would disagree with you. I feel like the ratio is probably good. But yeah. Like film appreciators mm-hmm. yeah. would side with
from
you.
From cinematic perfection with Barbie, it's got to be two screens. All right. And on to our main marketing news this week. In case you've been living under a rock. Elon Musk has decided, it seems like it was sort of on a whim, at least to me, to change Twitter to X. And I would just like to say this is probably the most haphazard brand change that I've ever seen. It's not even a refresh. It's just a rebrand, honestly. And he, on July 22nd, said, "If a good enough X logo is posted tonight, we'll make go live worldwide tomorrow."
That's how it started?
Yes. And I think before that he said, "And we soon shall bid adieu to the Twitter brand and gradually all the birds."
I take umbrage with that. I'm calling it the bird till the day I die. Continue.
Okay. So he basically then had the day before kind of alluded to it by saying, should we change the default platform color to black, and had a black heart or a white heart? The black heart won. And then he tweeted out, "Off to the Races" by Lana Del Rey.
I love that. I love that. Song. That he's right. A Lana fan.
Yeah. He's one of us.
I know.
I know.
It's all it's
black with it's Lana. It's yeah. Yeah.
So then it just happened, right? There became an X logo that he liked enough that he changed it and took away the Twitter bird, at least on desktop. If you go to x.com, you now go to twitter.com. And then Linda Iaccarino, the CEO of Twitter, said that it's an exceptionally rare thing in life or business that you get a second chance to make another big impression. Twitter made one massive impression and changed the way we communicate. Now X will go farther, transforming the global town square. X is the future state of unlimited interactivity centered in audio, video, messaging, payments, banking, creating a global marketplace for ideas, goods, services, and opportunities. Powered by AI, X will connect us all in a way we're just beginning to imagine. And then goes on. I don't, that message wasn't received well because it didn't talk about the users. Mm-hmm. The X chosen by Elon had a great amount of, I guess, just drama along with it, because apparently the logo, the X that was chosen, is just the capital X from the Special Alphabets 4 font from Monotype Special Alphabets font family that anybody could buy for $30.
No, so it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I see it.
Yes, it is.
I see it.
You're right.
And so that was the X that was chosen. And it seems like there might not have been a ton of thought to it. Like, even
it's
to,
a good enough X.
This is giving like HBO goes to Max. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Why ruin a good thing?
HBO Max.
It looks like
Max.
Excel yeah. went to X. Yeah. It like looks. It. I don't think.
Doesn't
it's,
he already have an X? Everything with him is X. He doesn't have his own X.
Somebody made a really cool X out of a bird. I'll have to put it up here and get it to tables. Yeah. It looked
like a phoenix. Just
phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
But it looks cool. So cool. And then this is just like. This looks like Excel to me. I don't know. I don't like it.
This didn't bother me until you said that, but now it's really bothering
it's
me.
It's fine. I hate the favicon. If you look at the favicon, here you can see it
the
right here.
The fav icon?
Yeah, it's just so dark and black. It just is not
It doesn't
like
look like anything.
Yeah. Like, I'm always looking for the Twitter.
For the
like,
bird.
At least keep it the blue color to change the entire colors and the X. I'm always like, what am I even doing with these? Because it's so dark. So then the Morning Brew, which is Business Insider company, so take it with a grain of salt. They said Microsoft owns the X trademark for video games. And Meta owns the X trademark for social media.
Oh, no.
In total, there are nearly 900 active U.S. trademarks that already cover the letter X. Elon is 100% getting sued.
But this X is in a different font, so perhaps we're okay.
How can anyone trademark the letter X, first of all? I guess it's not the problem. But.
Yeah, I just want to say, a lot of times, like, I overthink everything. Do you overthink things?
Have you met me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I could never imagine being like, you know what? I just paid $44 billion for a company that I want to buy. It's like all my net worth. And I'm just Should we change it black? Let's take a poll. And you know what? Anybody got a good axe out there? Oh, somebody like, I like this one that somebody sent over, even if it was $30. Oh, let's just change our entire company that is $44 billion that I just put into it to axe. And it's not even done. It's still half baked. If you go there now, yeah. It's still tweets. It's, they're not X's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And what could they possibly be? And it's still Twitter.
The app is still Twitter on mobile. It's just such a strange rollout.
And then what's the verb? Like, oh, I X'd.
Yeah.
I tweeted, I X'd.
That was the best thing about Twitter was that they had
a
you
tweet.
Would tweet.
They'd,
like they Threads made it a verb. Doesn't have that. You don't threaded. Do you know what I mean? Like they had a thing. People understood it.
Like, yeah, I thought that's why he bought it is because that's what people did. When they had thoughts, they tweeted the thoughts. Maybe there'll still be tweets. I don't
know. You buy a house, you redo the kitchen or you re-side it or whatever. That's just all he's doing.
Or you take the house and you f***ing bulldoze that house down and build
it. I want the land and the people on it, but I'm going to put up a new house.
Anyway, I would just like to say one. Let's be nice, right? Mm-hmm. Be nice corner here. I am going to compliment him on his name choice, X. If you look at his last two children, it was XAEA-12 was his last boy. And then Xadark Sidereal Musk was the last girl. So I think X is an improvement upon some of the previous.
I just feel like it's just his brand and he's inserting himself and no one should be surprised by this. And I think that my son thinks that there's treasure now. But I'm calling it the bird. Maybe I'll call it the X bird because it's an X bird. I don't know. But this is troubling to me as a social reporter.
So then another funny thing came out. There was an at X username out there, an account not owned by Twitter.
Were they part of
the purge? Not owned by Elon. Still being operated. It was just a little orange icon. Well, apparently they just took it. Whoever was X, Twitter
you
just took X.
That. Anarchy out here.
They just took it and took the X handle, and that's now the X Corp handle. So they just took X.
From somebody. Nobody's username is safe on Twitter.
That's
X,
what that
on
means.
X anymore.
You are correct. That is what that means. They can just usurp.
They can just take
whatever
it.
They want.
Excellent point. Yeah. So it's just a it's madness. And then you still go to like the web and everything's like, view tweets, search tweets, all that stuff. So whatever. It's becoming X. And I don't understand it, the rationale behind it, but I'm sort of in the corner of Gil Gildner, like always, as you have that clip, Gil, of me saying you're always right. Gil said, unpopular opinion. Renaming Twitter to X is a classic move by the guy famous for generating free press. Don't underestimate the PR chops of the guy who built Tesla without ads. Even if you don't vibe with him on a personal level, I suspect he's smarter than we think. That's something I'm always like, benefit of the doubt. You made electric cars a thing. You got to Mars. Like, I'm not on the same level as you. Like, I understand. You're here. We got to drill through the floor.
We are in the basement already. So
we're in the basement.
Can't go any
further
down. We got
to go deeper. Yeah. I need molten lava to find out how far from you I am. I don't see it. I don't see it. There was a whole bunch of threads too saying that at PayPal, he was trying to turn to X for global payments, and that's why he's so tied to X.
Were these threads on Twitter or threads?
It was on X that I saw.
Oh,
so yeah. Anyway, Twitter is now X. We'll see how it goes. I just wish it is a little gloomy, the Favicon. That's my biggest thing.
I mean, first of all, Favicons can suck it. Like if that's the thing that you're worried about, it's not a big deal.
I have it up in a tab though.
You have it up in several tabs.
I know,
see,
but I'm like, where's the Twitter part of it?
Well, and
I know
it's always there's X. No more Twitter apps. But as far as something gloomy, like the Addams Family is the happiest family that's ever been written, and they are gloomy as shit. So maybe X will be a happy place.
It honestly, X is better than
I know.
Ever,
Wednesday Addams gets what I'm saying.
You don't use Twitter. I think Twitter is better.
You don't use Twitter
X.
Either. You use X.
X is better than it's ever been, in my personal opinion, from interaction.
All right. So Google released an announcement that dynamic search ads and Google Display ad campaigns upgrades are now available to all advertisers. And upgrades is their word, not mine. So you can now voluntarily upgrade your DSA or GDA campaigns using a self-service tool that will appear in your accounts to PMAX. So a separate PMAX campaign will be created for each upgraded campaign, and it will use a combination of settings and learnings from your existing campaigns to maintain consistent performance. Questionable. So if you do voluntarily make the switch to PMAX, you'll have campaign-level brand exclusions, which we covered in a show earlier this month. You'll have inventory-aware ad serving, which makes sure your out-of-stock pages don't serve with search ads by automatically factoring in your product inventory. You'll have, their words not mine, more converting search queries, which uses AI to use a campaign's creative assets as a helpful signal to detect more converting search queries.
Can I stop you here?
Yeah.
What can question?
Yeah.
Let's say that you've got a Google display ad campaign and you convert it to a PMAX campaign. One is display, one is performance max, all Google owned and operated. Which one do you think is going to have more converting search queries? The one with no search queries?
The one
queries?
With no search? Definitely that one.
The one with search queries.
The one with search queries. Yeah. But you're being nitpicky, and
I'm
you're
just
reading
reporting,
the words.
No, it's
I'm just
stupid.
Reporting the news.
You're reading the words.
Just
you're interpreting this.
No, it's just, just why would I'm you even say that?
Pro 2020.
It shouldn't be more Googler, converting Googler search Googler queries. It should be, hey, we now can show up for search queries. It's a totally different type of campaign. One is you're out there trying to get in front of the right audience with placements, with targeting, with affinity. Like there's, it's you're trying to get in front of people based on what they like, based on their habits, based on the sites that they're on, based on the keywords that are on the sites they're looking at. And then one is I'm searching for something. They're two different, totally different things.
I mean, but it's an upgrade.
More converting search queries. Great. Because if you have the possibility of zero ever, then anything is going to be above that. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like you can get at least one for what, $8,000?
Generous. They say enhanced control, which they're saying is because you can have automatic text assets created, but you have the ability to delete these assets if you wish. And that
are those
final,
the words they use?
No, I'm summarizing. I'm summarizing.
No, you were very
but
close.
I'm trying to do the report or announcement justice. And
you're trying to be unbiased. That's
close
silly.
To right. what they let, said.
Silly. Let me ask you something. Let's say that your goal, you see a lot of people that come back with remarketing, right? And you're like, we know that people need 1, 2, 3, 4 mentions before they buy the product. We have one product that has the ability to remarket to a customer match list or something like that. Or maybe it's pixel based. And then you have one that can't remarket and has no remarketing control at all. And you've got two different campaign types. One you can choose exactly who sees it, one you can't. Which one would you say has more control?
Exactly who sees
that one.
It. Yeah, this one.
That the one that has audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
PMAX doesn't have more control because it's audience signals.
It signals, yes. They end with better reporting.
How could anybody with a straight face put this thing out? How could you? This is a bucket of lies. In this email, it's a bucket of lies.
You should reply with that.
And as somebody that is a non-liar like me, like, you know, I tell the truth.
Non-bucket as well. Human.
Yeah, human. Like, everything here is insanity to try to pretend like that's real.
Yeah.
Like, better report. Okay, let's hear
Would
the better
report. Would you rather reports. Tell your kids that Santa's real than read them this email?
No, I don't lie. I'd read the email.
I don't even
At least
know
I can read somebody else's
email?
Lie. I don't lie
email.
Myself.
Okay, fair.
I don't know if it was an email. I didn't get an email.
Whatever. It's an article. It's genuine,
documentation.
Whatever.
And they
somewhere.
Say that the better reporting is because they have this Google Ads API, which we'll cover later in page.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I didn't even – you put this in the notes. I tried to read it. I spent a half an hour trying to digest this. I didn't know what they were announcing. Basically, you can voluntarily upgrade quotes, your DSAs or GDA campaigns to PMAX.
I still don't know how that DSA works. I talked about it every single week. One excludes things, one includes things. How on earth do you upgrade to that? How?
I prefer the word switch.
Yeah. I prefer the word downgrade, but
downgrade.
Switch is nice. Switch is very unbiased.
I prefer the word f*** it all up.
Those are several words. I'm just following some very interesting stories with this boring So TikTok has launched an ads transparency library. Congratulations, everyone that lives for those. Rejoice. It's a searchable ads database. It shows the creative, the dates that the ad ran, the targeting that was used, and the number of people that were served the ad. However, the data is only for ads that are running in Europe currently. And it's not just Europe as a whole. You can filter by country, but they're European countries. And you can go to library.tiktok.com/ads if you want to play with it. You can filter by the country, the ad type, which is funny because the only item in the dropdown is all ad types. So thank you so much for that. The publish date and then advertiser name or keyword, which is interesting because that's one field. Whatever with that, because you can just, you can type something in and you can search for it and that makes sense. But it also does give you a list of, so I played with it and I typed in shoes. And it'll give you a list of advertisers with shoes in the name because I typed that in, as well as additional keywords. So things like casual shoes or baby shoes. It could be a good research tool. This is obviously meant to make people feel good and like, hey, we have transparency and you can see what's going on. But from a marketer's perspective, you could do some research with this. You could see what your competitors are doing. You can get some inspiration. And again, you can see what those popular categories are that people are searching for. And the ads are out there. So I guess it's cool. It's nice to know that it's there. I don't use TikTok as a user. I don't use it as an advertiser, but this all ad types is kind of bullshit. I feel like hopefully that'll expand when people do different things. But again, a nice to have. Do we need it? Do we care? Probably not.
That's all I cool. Got. Yeah. Something you can spy on.
I like to spy. And this angry grandma in the Merge Mansion from the ads that I've watched, she's up to something. And I am this close to downloading that game. She has a secret.
Where are you, Candy Crush? What level?
I wish I had my phone, but like 4,000 something.
Okay.
Almost 5K. You're welcome.
All right. And some more news hot off the presses. A blog post from Google read, a new partnership to promote responsible AI. Hmm. Anthropic, Google, Microsoft, and OpenAI are launching the Frontier Model Forum, an industry body focused on ensuring safe and responsible development of frontier AI models. Apparently, there's four objectives. One is about advancing AI safety research to promote responsible development of these models. The second one is to identify best practices and responsible development and deployment. The third is to collaborate with policymakers, academics, civil society, and companies to share what they know, and then also to support the efforts to develop applications that meet society's greatest challenges, such as climate change mitigation and adaption, early cancer detection and prevention, and combating cyber threats. I don't know why
that last one just seems like not at the same scale.
Well, and like, what is your AI frontier model forum? Is going to try to help with early cancer detection? What are we doing?
Delusions of grandeur?
Anyway, there's membership criteria to get into the forum. You have to develop and deploy frontier models, demonstrate strong commitment to frontier model safety. You have to be willing to advance the forum's efforts and all this stuff. And this came from Google, right? This was this article. I'm just going to read a different article. We're going to go back. This is the Wayback Greg machine here, okay?
.com.
All right, so we're going to read an article from 2020 instead. And this is called from the New York Times. Google chief apologizes for AI researcher's dismissal. The researcher, one of the company's best-known black female employees, said she was fired last week. Sundar Pichai, chief executive of Google's parent company Alphabet, apologized for the departure of a prominent artificial intelligence researcher whose exit had roiled the company's workforce and raised questions about its stated commitment to diversity and the responsible development of AI technology. In an email to employees on Wednesdays, Mr. Pichai, however, stopped short of saying that the company was wrong in how it hastened the resignation of Tinmit Jabru, who was a co-leader of Google's ethical AI team and one of its best-known black female employees. Dr. Jabru said last week that the company fired her after she sent an email that criticized the company's lack of progress in hiring women and minorities, as well as biases built into its artificial intelligence technology. She said that she had demanded an explanation for why the company had told her to retract a paper that pinpointed flaws in the new breed of language technology, including a system built by Google that underpins the company's search engine.
I remember reporting on this. We talked about this.
Yeah. So those are just two articles. Just two articles. One from 2020 and one from 2023.
We have no opinions. We don't have
opinions. No.
You make the call.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one and only Ginny Marvin, one of the best human beings on the planet, from her at Ginny Marvin account. Just, I need some appreciation. Ginny is one of the best humans in the world.
You
I
like
miss
to say
you, Ginny.
Salt of the earth, right? Salt of the earth.
She's the salt of the earth. And she's got that like sort of like Rhode Island, Maine accent. It's just the best. She's just the absolute best. I love
salt
Ginny.
Salt of the coast.
Anyway, Ginny says, and this is about the rebrand of the blue Twitter to the black X. She says, if anything, this logo change should be a case study in the tonal impact of branding on users. The lack of joy in branding is having a material impact on my mood on here that I wasn't expecting. Not to mention finding the dark X in a sea of browser tabs. That's my biggest thing. It's like, you come on there and be like, it's fun. It's this. And
has it ever been fun?
Twitter's always fun.
Mm-hmm. I guess I can't provide a fair assessment, but I just feel like there's a lot of slinging and a lot of...
You're just not on the right side of Twitter.
More on your Twitter in a little bit here, a little later in the show. But I agree. I think it could be a little more upbeat. Thank you, Jenny.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people. This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI this week is from Charles Farina at Charles Farina on Twitter. He tweeted or X'd, one last example of why you shouldn't use Google Signals as a reporting identity. Using Google Signals as a reporting identity can return more users, even though it is positioned as a feature to always return less. And he has a screenshot of his Google Analytics 360 accounts, and the device-only ID is 16,430, and Google Signals blended identity is showing 16,631. Just for context, Google Signals is a setting you can turn on and off in your GA4 instance, and it will account for session data from sites and apps that Google associates with users who are signed into their Google accounts.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe, at Ads Liaison, aka Ginny Marvin, tweeted or X'd, we've published a new in-depth implementation guide detailing how Google Ads has used the Privacy Sandbox Attribution Reporting API to approach ad measurement differently in a cookieless future. If you're an ad tech provider, you may find it helpful. And then she links out to the Google blog link.
Point of clarification. Mm-hmm. It indeed still says here, tweet your reply. So maybe tweet is still the verb?
Point of clarification. Mm-hmm. One thing that makes me very sad is a cookieless future. Yeah. Every time I hear that, I just get sad.
Cookie-less. Like Delta Sonic the car wash. It's not touchless. It's touchless.
It still makes me sad.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's all about how it's presented. Sorry. Optics.
So if you click into the Google blog, it says a glimpse into our approach and explains that ad tech providers who participate in a privacy sandbox initiative receive data from the ARA in two forms, event level reports and aggregate summary reports. So do with that as you may or will. All right. Another tweet from Ginny from her at Ads Liaison account on X. If you're using the Google Ads API or looking for ways to efficiently scale campaigns, you may find this new case study from a customer that's using the API to launch effective PMax campaigns at scale really interesting. So when this was first linked, it was late at night. Like maybe Google turns off after like 12 a.m. But I tried to click into the case study and it wasn't working. So I tried this morning and then I looked at this case study. What even is this site? Case study from, I don't know how to say it.
Quiz?
Quiz? squeeze. Squeeze. Like squeeze. Oh, it's supposed to be like squeeze.
Squeeze?
Squeeze.com. It's K-U-E-E-Z.com. And I go to the site. It just looks like a spam site. So Tables can put screenshots. The articles that were popping up for me were amusing pictures that prove this planet only has two types of people.
Everybody's favorite game.
Favorite game, right? And then the hero article came up, and it was like photos that show what can happen when someone is easily distracted. I don't know. Is this like AI generated image? Like, this, I don't know what I'm looking at.
I was going to say.
USB driving a cake. What?
Who's doing that? And then there's another USB drive.
How distracted do you have to be that you walk all the way to the birthday party with the thing you need to print because the wireless connection isn't working at your office? This is insane.
I don't have a good place to set my dongle down. Oh, man, there's not a key holder. There's not a countertop. There's not an island. You know what? I'm going to put my USB dongle right in the middle of this blue birthday cake.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this site. You could read the case study.
Two types of people.
Can I just say something? Yeah. This site is perfect for PMax.
It's all spam.
It's all auto-generated garbage. There's an entire section of this site called Wacko Jocko. Wacko Jocko. What is that even?
Wacko Jocko? Wasn't that Michael Jackson? Nicole and I were just talking about him.
I don't know. This site stinks, and I bet it does great on PMax.
It did. Read the case study. If it works for you, if the link works. More news. Anthony Higman. Tweeted, X, custom video campaigns and Google ads relabeled again. Now both the, quote, get views and, quote, efficient reach campaign subtypes are custom video campaigns. So thank you for translating, Anthony. Get views means max cost per view or maximum CPV. And efficient reach means target cost per 1,000 impressions or target CPM. And it looks, he has a screenshot. It looks like there's a new campaign setting. There's a blue box that explains this. I don't know why we're changing names. I can't keep up with it. Twitter, X, get views, efficient reach. It's the same thing. Alfred Simon at Alfred Simon on X'd. The ultimate Google Ads editor update. Finally, we can edit products and listing groups in editor. If you don't get excited seeing this, you are not a true PPC nerd. The second feature is also nice. It is the post on schedule. Awesome stuff.
Love that.
Are you excited?
I am. Post on schedule is great. I really actually like that. If you can just configure everything, set it up, and then have it post a certain time, turn things on, turn things off. Absolutely amazing. That's why I'm pro Google Marketer of the Year 2022. And leader in 2023, I have to say.
Yeah, because nobody's pro Google this year. Neither are you.
Did you listen to the podcast? I'm like.
Last week I did. Oh.
And Google has a new search term insights report. And Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail on X does a great job, actually better job than any of us could at breaking it down. So I will read straight from his thread. Search term insights is a report located in Google Ads in the consumer spotlight section of insights tab. And what's new about this? This report has been enriched with selectable time ranges, historical data, and a CSV download option. API access is also expected. So good news there. Getting into the good, there is search term categorization. Report works for PMax campaigns. Data is available starting from March 2023 onward. And CSV download makes data usable and handles UI problems such as metrics being merged into the same column as the growth figure. So now on to the bad. There aren't actually search terms in the search term CSV.
Oh, nice.
Great. So he says you can
feature,
see...
Feature.
He says you can see category, subcategory, and search term columns, but the search term columns just has it hashed out, so...
Thank goodness for this.
I don't know what we're supposed to do with that. And then the second bad he had was report doesn't share cost data, so you can't calculate key metrics like CPC, value per click, CPA, ROAS, all that stuff.
Done with glasses.
You can't see it. Jess doesn't need her glasses.
I'm sweating in my eyes. It's so hot.
And then he has a question mark section. And he said, Some metrics like impressions are seemingly reported at the subcategory level, while others like conversions are reported at the category level. So just of note, make sure you know what you're looking at. Menaham Ani at Menaham Ani on X said, now seeing this in Google Ads video campaigns with a screenshot with video enhancements beta, and it looks like you can select or deselect, allow Google to create additional videos, and these enhancements look like they'll create like vertical video for your horizontal video. Jeremy Kahn wrote a piece for Fortune titled Inside Google Scrambled to Reinvent Its $160 Billion Search Business and Survive the AI Revolution. And this digs into what Google's plan is for search with AI. And just of note, search drove about 60% of Alphabet's revenue last year. As we know, earlier this year, Google announced their Search Generative Experience, or SGE, which combines search with generative AI and returns a summarized answer to a user's query. So this article answers the big question, or tries to investigate the big question of, can Google make money from ads with generative AI content as it has from traditional search? And some call outs here from the article. It quotes Elizabeth Reed, Google's VP of Search, who says, we are continuing to experiment with ads. This includes placing ads in different positions around the SGE page, as well as what Reed calls opportunities for native ads built into the snapshot answer. Although Google will have to figure out how to make clear to users that a given portion of a response is paid for. Reed also said Google was thinking about how to add additional exits throughout the SGE page, providing more opportunities for people to link out to third-party websites.
I like how you used to call results.
No, they're exits. You're leaving exits. Google. You are exiting Google. You're exiting Google
SGE and going to a website.
Now you're going to the real that's over there that we stole from and didn't
cite. It used to be the search engine results pages. Now it's the search engine exit pages, the SEPs.
Ooh.
Or this, SEXP. SEXP.
What?
SEXPs. Right? They're all exits now. SEXPs.
The wasps just are rolling in their grapes.
Your whole point is to deliver people to information. It's not an exit.
It is an exit. Because that is
success.
No. Because they're going to give you the information. And if you choose to go to the source, then you are exiting Google. You are leaving. It's a dystopian nightmare.
That I just think that that's very telling that they said exits.
Precisely. Yes. That's where I'm going with that.
Okay. And in the organic news, Google is testing an AI tool that is able to write news articles. What could go wrong?
The product. Literally anything.
The product has been demonstrated for executives in New York Times, the Washington Post, News Corp, which owns the Wall Street Journal. And the tool is known internally with the working title Genesis.
Like the band?
Yeah, like or Phil the Collins? Gaming system. And it can take in information, details of current events, and generate news content. And that was according to people that were talking under anonymity, I guess. Some executives who saw Google's pitch described it as unsettling, according to New York Times, asking not to be identified, discussing a confidential matter. Two people said it seemed to take for granted the effort that went into producing accurate and artful news stories.
No sh**. Humans?
Yep. Yeah, it's just going to make news. Okay. From Renee, the at YouTube liaison on X, he said, multi-language audio has already started rolling out. You can check if you have by going to studio subtitles and looking for the audio column. From there, you can upload a different language audio track, just like you would caption a file. This is huge if you can get things dubbed. I know we're talking about potentially AI-based dubbing in the future, but right now you can put up different subtitles. It's awesome. Love that. All right, from the one and only Anthony Higman.
Higman!
He said, you know it's bad when Google starts using other brands like Barbie to advertise their search feature that has been available since 2011 as new. And it's a picture of somebody dressed as a cowgirl Barbie. And they are taking a picture of a bike, it looks like. And it's saying new ways to search. And it's just Lens, which has been around since 2011, I guess. This also kind of demonstrates the point that Google is harnessing that brand of Barbie. There's cross promotion, kind of like Mike Ryan alluded to with the paid Gannick last week, where Barbie was in the search results. Mm-hmm. Google is now promoting their products with Barbie. Weird. From Glenn Gabe, he says, GA4 update. E-commerce dimensions and metrics are now available in the custom report builder, and there are updates to the revenue metrics and explorations. There's a whole bunch of different things you can kind of now see, like category 1, 2, 3, a whole bunch of that stuff. But the big thing is that a lot of the stuff, to me, I know it's here now finally in GA4. This is like GA1 stuff that we're talking about, right? We're talking urchin stuff here. So you can see gross item revenue, items viewed in list, purchase revenue, refund amount, tax amount, shipping amount. There's a whole bunch more. If you want to see everything, go to community.marketingclock.com or marketingclock.com/newsletter. All right. By way of Glenn Gabe from the Android Police, YouTube is allowing users to turn comments into shorts. So like many other social platforms, you can take a comment, you can isolate it, and then you're going to be able to make a viewer-created short featuring said comment. It is not available to everybody right now, but the author of the original comment will not be notified. I guess that's something that might be different. And again, you can just take that comment and make your own short. AI is coming all up into your house because Wayfair's AI tool can redraw your living room and sell you furniture. They've launched something called Decorify AI. It's wayfairnext.com/Decorify. And you can take a picture of your house and it'll AI what you want to sell. I'm actually going to try this. I'll try it.
Of course you are, because you want the AI to put you in a shirt too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm redoing some stuff. I'm putting up a nice little reclaimed wood wall.
Can't wait to see it.
And I'm like, hey, what goes good here? So shout out Centennial Woods.
Hi, Joe.
And Ben Fisher at The Social Dude says there's a new Google Business Profile feature. It's not groundbreaking, but there is now a link to see what your GBP is a customer sees it. And GBP is your Google Business Profile. If you want to know where, how to find this, you just have to Google your name. Business. You Google your business, and you get to your Google business profile.
This may not be groundbreaking, but that's actually helpful. It's nice. Helpful.
Yeah. So you can now look at it and say, view as customer. Uh-huh. So you can be like what is everybody else seeing? Love that. All right. From Charles Farina, Google has provided an updated page detailing how the traffic source dimensions in GA4 work. Boy, this is a doozy. This is a doozy.
Why'd you put it in Lightning?
It's a doozy. It's just, there's all these different ways that there are attribution models. You have basically, first, you have session scoped dimensions, you have user scope dimensions, and you have event scope dimensions. And so what you'll probably notice is a lack of direct, at least when you're looking at the session scope dimensions. You'll have to look at this. Again, I gave you the links if you want to see everything here. But when you look at user scope dimensions, you can see, again, how somebody kind of got there the first way. Session scope dimensions don't consider direct like they used to. So that's like a big thing to look at if you're running TV ads, if you're running things like that will get people to get that type in traffic. Session scoped is going to change quite a bit. And then event scoped, I don't necessarily understand the way that direct is coming in on this. That's why I have data department. So I'll have to learn a little bit more, but it's very crazy, and basically, if you were trying to track direct in any way, shape, or form, it's probably going to be a lot different when you're looking at session scoped. All right. From Aleda Solis on X, at Aleda on X, there is a tweet out here that says, today's digital marketers to follow are fire marketing podcasters.
Oh, man.
At Greg Finn. At Jessica L. Budd.
What the f***? Thank you, Aleda. I don't X.
At Shep Zernhell. And I was just like, these poor. And then if you look at it, it's like, here's Jess's Twitter link and here's her LinkedIn link. I don't know which one you logged into last ever. So I went back and I'm like, huh, when was the last time you tweeted? You retweeted something in January.
I did? This year?
New year, new you.
Yes, it was the little S symbol that Google Small Business
did.
Where
it
said, support small business. Yeah. And I said, support your customers better, Google. You retweeted that. Your last official tweet was in 2021, August in 2021. So we're right up on that 2-year anniversary. But that's it in organic. What's happening in social bun? And thank you, Aleda.
Apparently me. I am happening in social. The last time I tweeted, it was still Twitter, people. Okay. Nothing's happening in social. We had to find some stuff. So the one and only Rand Fishkin at Randfish on X.
He's now responding too. He for a while wasn't responding on X. Now he's back in responding.
Congratulations if you want to talk to him.
Rejoice. Which social networks are the most valuable to marketers, he said. 315 responses, which is not a lot, but thank you for putting it into a chart. From a mix of B2B, B2C, and agency and consultant marketers. And then he has a chart. And what I'm trying to understand this. So he's got like LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Threads, Twitter. I'm putting these in order of importance, what people think are most valuable according to these 315 folks.
I gotta jump in.
B2C people care about LinkedIn? More on that later, and I'll tell you why, because they're pervs. But what are you gonna jump in?
What is
with?
The fourth one on this? Maybe the worst survey ever pulled.
Dude, I have so much more to say about okay. that. The fourth one is Threads, right? So first of all, B2C on LinkedIn, good luck and God bless. And the scale, 1 equals you provide no value. I feel like that should be 0. So we're already being stupid here. 5 equals immense value. My father owns a hot sauce store and he ranks things at spiciness level 1 through 10. But then you can have a 10 plus and a 10 plus plus. And nobody knows what the f*** that means. And I love my dad and I love hot sauce, but this is the same sh- and this is not helpful. 1 equals nothing and 5 equals immense and nobody knows. But anyway, just take everything with a grain of salt. But Rand said, do marketers think Twitter will still be a top 5 social network in 3 years?
And just remember there's bias.
Yeah. Of course, there's bias with everything this man says. There's bias with everything anybody says. Less than a quarter of y'all say yes, but I think it's just because they knew the name change was coming. So Twitter is nothing.
No, this if you made this X. Change.
Exactly. So, but they knew it was coming. That's what I'm saying. Clairvoyant people. But then the weird thing is that more than 2X, so he says almost 50% think Threads will
Twitters?
Be the top. Two Twitters worth, 50% of people think Threads will be in the top 5 in the next 3 years. Yeah, they had a huge usage jump when it started. They did a lot of smart things to get people to use, and I put that in quotes, but you guys talked about it last week. People dropped off.
Yeah.
They fell off, including the Zuck himself. And we all know he's a cuck because I had to say that, and I'll say it again because Greg wants me to.
I didn't say
it. What else did you have to say about that? I just feel this whole thing is... But there's charts.
I just want to say that this is why you shouldn't listen to people in general. You should find people you trust.
I concur.
Find people that don't let you down. Find people that aren't pushing an agenda, aren't pushing one thing or another. The fact that Threads is above Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Reddit, Pinterest, and Snapchat is sheer insanity.
This is according sheer to 315 insanity. People. That is not a large enough sample size.
Somebody will put this yeah. out and be like, this is, I don't know where these 300 people came from. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there are 175 of the stupidest people on the earth.
There are 7 are people this. In this room. You're going to pull 315?
But either way, you to say that Threads is more important than TikTok is an absurd. You can say like, hey, I hate X, I hate Elon, I hate Twitter. Like, Threads is above that. Fine, whatever. Threads sucks. Nobody uses it.
People
it's going to be gone in a year.
Already.
You're
yeah.
insane if you look at this thing. This is, again, coming from the person that said, I'm putting all my chips or whatever the exact verbiage was in Mastodon. Mastodon is a platform of the future. Mastodon is not going to exist in a year.
They're down like 80%, I think I saw
it
somewhere
sucks.
In one of these stories.
It's impossible.
Yeah, don't quote me on
don't,
that.
Don't. You need to find people you can trust that will always do right by you and then just listen to them. And that's us. That's us.
Yeah. We are 7 out of 350. According to a new poll of over 1,000, which is at least 3x the last poll we talked about, and maybe a little less, female LinkedIn users, more than 90% of women have received romantic advances or similarly inappropriate messages in the app. This is not a place for this, really? But what the hell are you people doing?
You don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you.
Look right at me.
I didn't mean to.
I might not marry anymore. It doesn't mean that I go creeping on LinkedIn.
But like the crazy thing, first of all, again, a small sample size, but I feel like the impact here is much larger. Who is hitting on people on LinkedIn? Could you imagine going to like a conference and being like, sup, I love how you rank. Like, fuck.
you. Okay, so how would you describe the nature of the romantic advances or inappropriate messages you usually receive on LinkedIn was the question. And 30.84% say propositions of romantic or sexual encounters. 30.23% request of personal or intimate information, like what color are your underwear? I'm guessing.
You kind of already told everybody that earlier.
I did. Unwanted compliments or flattery, like you're so good at business. That's that should be happening on LinkedIn. Not like, you're cute, love your script, want to f***. Like, you can't do this. You cannot do this. And the fact that, okay, because then my next story is that LinkedIn is reporting record engagement on the platform. And if this is the that they're counting, which I don't think they are, but I just feel like, what are we doing?
Quick question. Can you define engagement here?
Well, it could be a romantic event. Maybe these are marriage propositions. There are record engagements happening because people are like, you're cute, my business, your business.
I don't think that's it.
No, but I just think that stop doing that, first of all. If you want to date online, use an online dating app. LinkedIn is not the place for that, but maybe that's why the B2C folks are really into it, because they're not using it for business, they're using it for dating. Anyway, LinkedIn is actually reporting themselves record engagement on the platform. 22% increase in views of updates in the feed year over year, 25% of increase in public conversations in the app year over year, and newsletter creation increased 10 Twitters in 2022. So people are using the platform hopefully for good, but also just stop DMing anyone, anywhere. I know that survey was for women, but just don't harass people in a professional environment. It's not nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that's B2C. It might be P2V.
Wow. Up next, Snapchat also released a performance report. And we don't really talk about this platform much. As Greg noted, it was like way down on Rand's list of what matters. But
way less than Threads.
Way less than Threads. But I assume that that will change. And daily active users are still on the rise with Snapchat. They are now at 397 million daily active users, which is up by about 14 million since last quarter. That's a lot of people. That is way more than 315. And they are boasting more advertisers than ever as well, thanks to improvements that they've made in their advertising offering. They said, we've made process towards, I'm paraphrasing, improving results for advertisers through increasing machine learning and all those things. So more advertisers are on Snapchat. If your audience is there, get in now before even more advertisers show up, I guess is the thing, because people are using the platform still. We don't talk about it a lot, but that doesn't mean that it's not thriving and doing okay. Finally, you're in social just in time for Christmas in July, the gift on absolutely no one's list. TikTok has announced that it is making text posts available to all users in the app, which it gives another way for users to share a different form of content. It's a short form video platform, but if you just want to write the out of something, you go ahead. Nicole, your thoughts? You use TikTok for video. Are you reading any of these text updates? Do you see them?
I've not seen them. I only use TikTok on desktop.
What?
Whoa. Well, that's the whole like deleting my apps thing is like, I guess that's fair. If I'm going to like use something, it'll be desktop and I have to be present in the moment most of the time.
This just looks like a Facebook status where your mom's like, happy birthday, here's a gradient.
But yeah, I guess okay. Yeah.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
This week's Working Hard or Hardly Working for me is Google Insights. So don't trust what Google says, but I am training a bunch of people here on just proactive account maintenance. And we were discussing some of the insight recommendations that Google had. And they had brought up that Google was saying that we don't have images for our search ads. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we do. You were the one that implemented them. And they were like, yeah, I know. We implemented them like last year. And so I'm like, okay, we got to look into this. So I go to the insights in the account and I click on the recommendation and see what campaigns it's recommending. And it has like 19 campaigns that say that there's no image assets. And I'm like, this can't be true. And I go into the actual campaigns. There are image assets there at the ad group level. So now I'm trying to think like, okay, why is it recommending me this? It must be because they're not applied at the campaign level, but we wanted to do ad group level because it's more specific and tailored to the ad group and the keywords. And so I had to tell them like, this is one of those Google recommendations you don't listen to. This is one of the many.
It is so hard to explain that though.
to people that are trying to, Greg, you've said this before, how can anyone learn this platform now? We've all evolved in it, but somebody starting now, how can you possibly navigate? And I cannot possibly navigate. My working hard this week is one Nicole Waddington. Mm-hmm. I was on vacation last week. You both did an amazing like duo show. I loved it. She also covered all my client work. Absolutely amazing. I'm just so grateful for you, Nicole. And this is not – I'm not doing you justice in this shout out, but you shouted out to me and I appreciate it. And I'm shouting out back because I could not leave this office without you here. So thank you, Second Goth in Command.
Thank you.
Re-X. All right. And for me, we had a client launch a new site. There were some conversion issues I didn't think of. We didn't know it ahead of time, which is kind of threw us like a wrench in everything. But they're just so good, so savvy. They're trying so hard. Anytime we're jumping on a call, they're jumping on a call. They're getting us all the data. It's just so nice when people want to do good and are savvy and try so hard. It's just the best because many times you can find clients that it is a slog to work through. And I don't have that. And just shout out to all you good clients out there. You make life so great.
And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is a vibe if you need to transcribe. And Nicole, I forgive you for not having a cool rhyme last week. Thank you. You're filling in for me and you did a great job. You delivered the information where I just deliver the bull. But this tool is not bull. It is Happy Scribe. It's a video transcription service with AI and human options. So you can either have somebody, a human, turn something around in 24 hours with approximately 99% accuracy, their words, not mine, or you can have a machine do it with 85% accuracy in about 5 minutes. Either way, nice to know this is an option. So supported languages include English, French, Spanish, German, Dutch, Portuguese, Italian, Polish, and more. You can try it for free if you want, but if you like it and you want to use it, the price really isn't that bad. It's 20 cents a minute for AI, which is not bad even if you have to edit it, and $2 a minute for human brains, which is pretty cheap. I buy a lot of brains, more expensive than that. There is an editor, sharing tools, and even a subtitle service if you want to add captions to your videos as well. And shout out to Maggie Humphrey, who works here at Cypress North, and she's also of Agency Scoop fame. She found this. She used it. She can vouch for that approximately 85% ratio. You still have to look at things. Anytime you have AI do something, look at it, but it is a great way to get started. So again, that is Happy Scribe. And as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter at marketingclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one and only Barry Schwartz at Rusty Brick on X, and there is an article on searchengineroundtable.com called How It's Going After Removing Google AMP Pages 3 weeks ago. One thing I love about Barry, he shares everything, all the charts, all the knowledge, all the news, and in this case, he took AMP off, and he said, I should note that we removed AMP because I didn't want to use the workaround for J4 to track AMP because that's not supported. Plus, AMP is not required anymore for top stories and the like. I followed the Google documentation when removing AMP from the site. You can see what the page indexing report looks like when he removes AMP and how it starts to go up, how it starts to go down on the AMP side of things. And then you can also see the impact in Discover, although it's pretty fluky, according to Barry. He says it's itself hardly ever able to predict and rarely ever stable, but just a great case study of like, here's what it looks like when you do this thing. Cause I've never removed the AMP. So I was very interested, and thank you, Barry. If you want this and more, it's marketingclock.com/newsletter or community.marketingclock.com.
Right. And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingclock.com. What is going on your playlist this week, Greg?
I'll Fall With Your Knife by Peter Murphy.
Wow.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, I like the title of that.
Me too. All
right. And I will be adding She's Just That Type of Girl by Neil Francis. Jess?
The Purge by In This Moment. I feel like we're all just having a vibe this week.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening. Miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck, where after our famous Friday news shows, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
This week, we're playing everybody's favorite game, Travel Buddies. You preferred this because you said that you didn't agree with some of the things and you would have made some of the right decisions, and Nicole messed everything up last week is what I heard.
I also would like it on record that I actually, as a listener rather than a participant, LOL'd IRL.
Okay.
So I think the formula works even though we're on to you and it's bullshit.
This, I have answers written down in bold here. Okay. So you are going to travel the globe with one of two types of people here, and you have to choose who it is going to be. So you have to choose somebody that when they eat chicken wings, they prefer flats or they prefer drums.
What are those?
Flats are like the ones that have two bones on the
Jess, you grew up in Buffalo, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't eat wings, though.
Oh, yeah, you're vegetarian.
I've seen people eat wings, right?
I've seen people eat wings, but I don't know. Okay, so what you're describing as a flat is what I think of as a wing. What's a drum?
It's like the big kind of like knobby looking thing.
Like a leg, like at the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, but small.
But small.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you should sit out of this one. Nicole, maybe you take this one away for us.
I prefer flats, but I also don't care enough. Like, I'm a selective vegetarian, so I'll eat whatever when I crave wings.
So that's what you like. Who are you taking on the trip?
Oh, yeah. Travel buddies. I think I would prefer someone who likes flats.
Okay.
Because I feel like flats are a little bit more of a challenge to get the meat off the bone.
Great point.
And they're up for the challenge. If they can clean the bone well with a flat, I respect that. And I think they would be a great person to travel with.
That person would be phenomenal because they can do the work, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right? But the problem is you are looking at this granularly. You're going across the globe. If you're out there gnawing on those knobby wings, you're going to be able to eat any cuisine out there. Somebody that likes the drums, they're going to be able to eat whatever they want.
You're not even going
to
let me weigh in on this one. I mean, no, I was going to agree with Nicole.
Back yourself right out of this.
Yeah, okay,
you back yourself out of this. It's the drum, because if you can eat that weird little hard knob on the drum, you can eat whatever food gets thrown your way.
What is a hard knob on the drum?
But then, you know what? If you accidentally eat part of like the bone or something,
no!
You're going to have a stomach ache. And then you're going to be out of commission.
Well, yeah, you cannot travel with somebody who's pooping because you need to travel with the peer. So... Okay.
All right.
No,
you just made your own point.
You're wrong.
No, yeah. No, I have it here. No. Okay.
Flats.
Second timely one here. Who are you traveling with? Somebody that just this past weekend went to see Barbie, or somebody that went to see Oppenheimer?
That is not fair, because we have been discussing this at length around the office, and there are people that are both of those people.
But you can only see one first.
You can only have one
okay?
answer.
The first movie they chose was either Barbie or Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer.
You don't travel with the follower.
Is that your final answer? So somebody that watches Oppenheimer first, they probably have good skills, probably a sciencey person.
Yeah.
But the correct answer is Barbie. Because you can go anywhere. All you got to do is find something pink and be like, hey, look, there's a pink thing here. And they'll be like, oh, wow, this is awesome. Like,
there's not a lot of pink in the world, Greg.
I know. But just imagine if you can, if something that is just the color pink really like moves you that much, you're going to love the vacation.
Disagree with you.
No. I mean, it's like... You can whole movie is like putting
about
in a pink
box. The history. They would like going to museums with me.
Right, but you're not going to be like, hey, let me get a Large Hadron Collider and fire two atoms together to get ourselves out of a situation. You'd be like, hey, go look at this pink thing while I figure this out. It'd be a nice, easy travel buddy.
I just feel like either of those people would let me listen to Aqua, and that's all I need.
So you're going with somebody that is a hardcore gym rat, okay? Or somebody that's on Ozempic.
It's on what?
Ozempic. It's what like that?
The diabetes drug that's going to make you have Ozempic face because you're like hollowed in and you lost all the weight.
Ooh.
A lot of celebrities.
So it's like me versus you.
I don't know what Ozempic was.
Gym rat? Yeah.
So I don't think that's the case. But who are you going?
Gym rat.
Gym rat.
Gym rat?
They're going to be fit. They're going to want to do hikes. They're going to be ready to go. Up for the challenge. They like type 2 activities on vacation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although.
Go, because I have an answer right here.
They're going to be pissed that they can't go to the gym while on the trip.
Oh, they're going to be getting up like way before everyone else to get their workout in. Okay. Mm. Or they're not going to be flexible enough. Mm.
Or maybe they are actually flexible. But
I just feel like I don't want to stand next to the hollowed out person on and in any of my photos. I'd rather just be next to the fit person. And then it's just like, oh, she doesn't have muscles, but like she's not super chiseled from this medicine. I don't know what this medicine is.
Okay.
Whatever Nicole says.
I'm going with Gym Rat.
Okay. Final answer.
Yeah. Gym Rat.
Who's Gym Rat?
Good points you had were made, but the answer was actually Ozempic because this person, they're going to lose all their gains if they're not at the gym. If they're not working out. You're going to be going there. You're going to be picking up boulders. They're going to be having you do like calisthenics all the time. You want the person that's just like, I'm just going to shoot myself with an injection and feel gone. Oh,
it's an injection?
No, yeah. You inject it and then you become skinny.
How do I get this?
Have diabetes or fake it.
I'm really good at faking diabetes. It's a skill of mine.
So you don't have to do as much work. Like you can actually go see things and not the inside of a gym in Mumbai or something like that.
But
right?
You're a gym rat. So what are you doing?
Yeah,
you just don't want to go anywhere?
I'm giving the right answers. I'm unbiased here. And that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.